Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Semi-Scribble podcast, a show about reading books by Africans or people of Black descent that inspire us. I'm Akinyi, and I'll be taking you through books that inspire marginalia, books that changed your worldview and life. Stay tuned. Open Water by Caleb Azuma Nelson. Open Water is the final book that I will be reviewing this year. I realized when thinking about bringing this book to you that it's the first book I am talking about in this podcast that is not by a Black woman. I'm glad that this is the first book by a Black man that I am reviewing for you all. Open Water is a book about young romance. It's a book about living in a Black body while living in a white country. And it's about art. The main character in this book is a young Black man who is essentially an artist. He is a photographer and he writes really well. And most of this book is narrated from the point of view of the Black man. He describes every scene as himself. So you experience the scenes as the main character, but at the same time, you can experience others' emotions separate from the main character. In other words, it's a second person narration. I hope I'm explaining that right. What struck me most about Open Water is the prose. The writing is beautiful. It seems almost like poetry to me. But I think that aspect of the book is captured really well when you listen to it on audio. I guess I should be putting a warning sign and letting all of you know that I am an audiophile. Most of the books that I review here for you, I listen to on audiobooks. So this particular version of the audiobook, I listened to it on Audible, and it is narrated by the author himself. So Caleb narrates it, and his voice is a device in itself. He's very calm. It's very soothing. It's a nice voice. Nice doesn't even cut it. His voice is awesome. It needs you to actually concentrate. Otherwise, it can be a little bit like a meditation. His voice combined with the prose of the book, the style of writing is almost like poetry. There are times when sentences are repeated, words are repeated. It does not feel out of place at all. It feels like part of the book. And if you really get into a zone, you can transport yourself into another realm. So you need to probably give it a go once or twice before you really get into the groove of listening to the story. So what is Open Water about? It's about a guy who meets a girl in a pub one night and how their friendship develops, how it blossoms. Reading about this friendship, which really blossoms into something else, took me back to that feeling of having a crush when you're a teenager. I was really deeply captured in a really great way by the little dance that they had with each other. It's obvious to them and to people around them that theirs is more than just a friendship, but they don't want to own up to what it is, even as they spend more and more time together. But it eventually develops into a full-blown love story. And chapter 16, chapter 15, and chapter 17 for me of this book, really, I felt light. I felt young again. I was really rooting for this crush. And it kind of made me miss having a crush. Don't get me wrong. Crushes suck because it's that anticipation of where it's going. But just experiencing that feeling between the two of them was awesome. And that goes towards Caleb. Is it Caleb? However you want to pronounce it. His writing really transports you and puts you in that moment of the character. So there is that love story that goes on. But life is also going on as this love story is developing. And for the main character, he goes through a lot being a young Black man, predominantly in South London, and crisscrossing through London. He experiences a lot of violence. And I should warn people who can be triggered by this that there is a lot of violence in the book. There's a lot of introspection by this young man about the violence that he sees around him and that he experiences in the hands of authorities. It's done in such a passionate way that I didn't really feel, it didn't leave me with a bad taste in my mouth. It left me feeling empathetic for this young man and what he's going through and understanding that this is a reality for many people. But it didn't leave me wrecked as most other books would do. There is also a lot of death that happens in the book. The family members who pass on, and there's talk of going back to Ghana because the main character is a British Ghanaian. Or can you say a Ghanaian British? Whichever works. So there is the explanation or the exposition of having to travel in order to grieve those who pass on. And there is the exposition of those who are left behind in England and cannot go to grieve and how they process that grief, how it manifests for them and what they do to cope. There was also a really great story there about brotherly love. And I don't mean friendship, because recently we talk about brotherly love to be a friendship type of thing between two men. But this was like actual siblings. That was new for me to witness and experience. And it was really genuine. And it explained a little bit to me about how some men who embody this particular type of masculinity that demands silence, that demands a lack of emotional expression, how they really can engage with each other to express those emotions and can understand the silence between each other. That explanation for me was really refreshing because I really don't delve into that aspect of masculinity. So it really brings that out so effortlessly while giving us this wonderful story. So I enjoyed Open Water. The ending, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, was a little bit disappointing for me. But I'm glad that he stuck to the realities of what happens in life. I think I will revisit the book now just for pleasure. I enjoyed reading it, but I'll revisit it at a slower pace in order to digest the beauty of it. The final thing I want to say about this book is that the descriptions of art are phenomenal. He describes photography in prose such a way that you can visualize the picture. There's one particular photograph that he explains the main character taking of a group of men playing basketball, and the description of the photograph of the basketball in midair, of the expressions of the players as they're looking and anticipating where that ball would land, really blew me away. I had to go back and do some research, and the author is actually a photographer in real life, so it really gives it that oomph in terms of how he describes photography. But not just that, music. There's lots of references of music in this book. It's set between 2017 and 2018. So the musical references are relevant. He expresses the rhythms in the prose. You can really feel the flow of the music. Like, he really gets you to understand this picture that he's drawing. And that was truly exciting. So if you are interested in art, get this book, because you will not be disappointed in the prose itself, which is magical, wonderful, and the descriptions of art. His love interest is a dancer, and the way he describes her movement, oh, chef's kiss. I am deliberately not referencing names, the names of the characters, because in the telling of the story, yes, there are names, but he mostly refers to his love interest as her, and he refers to himself as you. So when you are reading the book, you have it from his perspective, but you still get to envision and experience the emotions of the other characters. But names really only pop up for the supporting characters, like the barber, Leon, or like his friend Daniel, who comes up sporadically between the book, his other friends that he visits for a night out somewhere. But everybody else, it's she and her, and even for his brother, it's brother. And I think, I'm not sure, but to me, I think that's sort of a style. Because if you think about it, when you think about your person, you don't really think about them in terms of their name. You'll think about them as a he or a she or a they, whichever makes sense. And when you think of your brother, you just think of your brother. You don't really think of your brother as insert name here. So I'm not really sure, but maybe that's just for me. For me, that made the book a little bit more intimate. So it's definitely a book that I would recommend that you go read. It would probably be in my top 10 books of 2021. My currently reading section is up next. And what I'm currently reading has not changed. We're coming up to the end of the year, and I've been pretty busy. I guess this whole year has been a whirlwind, but I am actually determined to finish two books that are sitting right at the top of my to-be-completed pile, and that is The Other Black Girl by Zakiya Dalila Harris and The Girl with the Louding Voice by Abe Dare. I think I might finish The Girl with the Louding Voice first, but I'm determined to finish The Other Black Girl. I think I have sort of a guilty pleasure book that I'm going to try and squeeze in for my Christmas holidays. That, I don't know if I want to tell you guys about that book. Maybe I'll tell you about that book when we come back in January. I have A Song for You by Robin Crawford in my to-be-completed list. And I don't know why I'm not trying to finish that book. A Song for You is a memoir. Not really a memoir. Robin Crawford was friends with Whitney Houston. And this story is about her life with Whitney Houston. And it's juicy. It's juicy. Why I don't want to finish it is I feel like it's going to make me sad, and I don't want to get sad within the next few weeks as we go into the holiday break. I want to enjoy my time, but I feel like it might be interesting, but I also feel like it might make me sad. But that's the new book on my currently reading list. In the Something to Note section, I have a bunch of interesting news for you, the book reader or the literature lover. First is the 2021 Johannesburg Review fiction issue is out. the JRB or at Joburg Review on Twitter, have released volume 5 and issue 6, December 2021, of the Johannesburg Review of Books. And it has a host of wonderful authors or writers, if you'd like to call them that. Of course, the Nobel Prize winner, Abdul Razak Garna, is part of the lineup in this issue. Kiprop Kimutai, Barbara Boswell, Keletso Mopai, amongst others, are part of this sixth issue of Volume 5 of the JRB. It is the fifth annual fiction issue. I'm definitely looking forward to jumping into this over the break. There are samples of new novels that are in there, so you should definitely go swimming in there. There's excerpts from Abdul Razak Garna and samples of the book by Noctula Mozibuko Msemang. I mean, there's poetry, including a portrait of Mukoma wa Ngugi by Victor Dlamini. So definitely go and check it out. There'll also be a selection of new short fiction and some works in progress. Of course, as always, the link to this will be in the description box. Next on the Something to Note list is No Violet Bulawayo's second novel, Glory, which is inspired by the fall of Robert Mugabe. It's a forthcoming book in spring of 2022, but we get to see what the cover of that book will look like. And there's some information about this in Open Country magazine. So I'm going to put a link to that in the description box as well. Finally, in the Something to Note section, we go all the way back to our very first review, which was on Dust by Yvonne Adhiambo Owor. And she has a new article up in the very prestigious National Geographic in the Welcome to Earth section. She talks about her visit to the spiritual voice of the hidden Serengeti, and everybody, including our Twitter hero Baraka, is talking about this article. The prose in there is lavish. Her descriptions are always on point, and you know how great Yvonne is at describing the Kenyan landscape. In this article, she's describing Kenya's Loita Forest, which is a pristine wilderness that is inhabited by the Maasai and is sacred to them. And she takes us for a 20-minute read journey. Please do take a minute, 20 minutes, and read that. I'm sure it's going to make your day far, 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 far much better. Well, folks, that's all for this episode. I hope you have enjoyed it, and I hope I have inspired you to go and read something, whether long or short. And I really want you to look out for our next episode, which will be the holiday episode, where I asked you to ask me questions that you'd like me to answer. That's going to be a ritual for closing out the year. It's going to be a Q&A. So I'm looking forward to publishing that and hearing your thoughts on that. I'll be answering all the questions that I received via Twitter, via Instagram, and one-on-one. As always, it's been a pleasure speaking and sharing this with you. Tevin, roll the credits. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Thank you to everyone who helped in the creation of this episode and to African authors for continuing to inspire us. Please subscribe to the podcast anywhere you access your favorite podcasts and follow us on social media at podcast @podcast_semi. That's @podcast_semi on all platforms. Until next time, I'm Akini. Bye.